It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus. With customizable tools and charts you can access across all your devices. Try our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/trader plus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Whether you're firing up the grill at a local bistro or uploading your next viral video, there is one thing every business owner has in common. You can't afford to be offline. If you are connected, you are making sales, talking to clients, or managing your team. That is where Spectrum Business comes in. They keep businesses of all sizes connected seamlessly with fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi, phone, TV, and mobile services. You need technology that adapts as fast as you do, without breaking your budget. What really sets Spectrum Business apart is their commitment to being there when it counts. They offer 100% U.S.-based customer support, available 24/7. They're ready to help you stay up and running. It's no wonder millions of business owners rely on Spectrum every single day to power their dreams. Get the reliability your hard work deserves. Visit spectrum.com/business to learn more and find a package built specifically for your business needs. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Visit spectrum.com/business for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the All-Star Break edition of Phillies Today, with your host, Francisco Rojas. Coming to you right now, right after, unfortunately, another Phil's loss to the Miami Marlins, who I really want to call the Florida Marlins because that they just sounded better that way. But I guess I'll respect the franchise in Major League Baseball, and I will call them the Miami Marlins as the Phil's head into the All-Star break with a 48-41 record. And they still have a good week, man. And we're going to get into it. I wanted this to be the All-Star break edition of the show. I don't mean we're not going to preview the All-Star teams or anything like that. This is Phillies today. It is a Phillies show. So really what I want to do today is we'll recap today's game. And I'll give you a few of my takeaways. And then we're just going to kind of get into, I was thinking about what I wanted to do for this episode, because I knew it would be a little different we're going to the All-Star break here. There has to be some sort of twist here. And I'm really just going to kind of give you guys like my general thoughts of the state of the team, how I'm feeling right now, how I feel about the team. Where they're at right now in the standings, in the wild card race, just in general, where the team is, like the pulse of the team. And really just going to dive into the positives, negatives, and maybe a few of my concerns and kind of just the outlook for the second half, for the Philadelphia Phillies. That's kind of what I want to do today. We'll quickly do, recap of yesterday's game, takeaways, and then just, again, just a kind of general pulse of where I am with this team right now. We did our midseason awards within the last week, and now I want to give you guys just my general thoughts and feelings where I am with this team, where we're going in the All-Star break, and the All-Star game is in Seattle. Craig Kimbrell, congratulations to Craig Kimbrell. He is added as a replacement, and honestly, looking at his numbers right now, he deserves it. 3.41 ERA, 14 saves, I believe it's 14, if it's not 14, it's 13. Regardless, like, he's had a good first half, even though he started off the year rough. He's deserving as a replacement. So congratulations to Craig Kimbrell. Of course, congratulations to Nick Castellanos. I think both are deserving. So let's get into key moments and just a little recap from yesterday's game. Aaron Nola on the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies. And on the other side, you have Jesus Luzardo, who has been very good since coming to Miami over from Oakland. So bottom of the first, Jesus Sanchez, or is it Jesus Sanchez? I forget which. I'm pretty sure it's Jesus, because Jesus is Jesus Luzardo and Jesus. I'm pretty sure it's Jesus. Regardless, he hits a two-run bomb off of Aaron Nola. Not a great start. Him coming off the Eflin matchup in Tampa Bay, where he was just had some of his best stuff of the year, had his one of his best starts of the year. Not a good start. Jesus Sanchez with a two-run bomb in the bottom of the first. A couple of innings later, bottom of the third, Dane Myers hits a solo bomb to make it a 3-0 game. Another home run given up by Aaron Nola. It is just not. It's been a really mediocre year, and home runs have not helped. Brian De La Cruz later in the inning, solo homer to make it a 4-0 game. That's three home runs given up in the first, not even three innings for Aaron Nola. And then Gene Segura later that inning would also add an RBI single. A former Phil there, familiar friend, I guess you want to say, familiar foe, whatever. We love Gene when he was here. RBI single, 5-0 game, top of the fifth. Edmundo Sosa for the Phils gets the Fightins on the board. 2-run homer, 5-2 Miami. And that's all the Phillies would really get the rest of the game. Miami got what they needed this game pretty much after the De La Cruz homer earlier in the third inning. Bottom of the seventh, Brian De La Cruz. It was really the Brian De La Cruz game for the Marlins. He went, I believe he went 4-for-4. If it wasn't, it was 4-for-5 or somewhere around that. It was 4-for-4. He gets RBI single. Dane Myers would score. Bottom of the eighth, Nick Fortes with an RBI single. Joey Wendell would score 7-2. Bottom of the ninth, the Phils would add some runs with a Bryson Stott ground out that would see Alec Bohm score from third. And then Derek Hall would ground out to end the game as Miami would win this game 7-3 and take 2 of 3 from the Fightins. Heading into the All-Star break in the next couple of days in Seattle. But overall, the Phils, with a good road trip, in my opinion, we're going to get to this. Good road trip. We're going to get to that. So, takeaways. First takeaway, for sure, I kind of have to start with the bad. And obviously, we're all freaking out as Aaron Nola gives up, the Sanchez homer and then the Dane Myers homer and then the De La Cruz homer. We're all freaking out saying, oh my God, Aaron Nola sucks. The most overrated athlete of all time. Shout out to Elliot Short Parks. Most overrated athlete in Philadelphia, whatever, which we know is not the truth. You can't be overrated when half the fan base thinks you suck. So anyway, I don't want to go off too much of a tangent there. But so Nola goes 6 innings, 3 home runs given up, 8 hits, 5 runs, 4 of those earned, and 6 strikeouts. I mean, this has just been the story of Aaron Nola this entire year, and there's nothing. And it's just a horrible, horrible, horrible way to go into the All-Star break. Even if he just had a quality start, even if he had went like 6 and, you know, given up 3 earned, like whatever, didn't have to have an incredible start like he did against Tampa Bay. If he had just gone out and given you a solid 6 innings, a couple of runs given up, we're not asking for the type of outing you had against Tampa Bay. We're just asking for a solid start. And Aaron Nola has just been, he has not been able to do that this year. He's been able to do it at times, but it's just been a completely inconsistent up and down season for Aaron Nola. And you've got to be worried as a Phils fan. And it really, really makes you want to really go get a pitcher at the deadline. So yeah, Aaron Nola, there's really not a lot to be said. I mean, I know we keep coming back to Aaron Nola. We have to talk about it because he's just been so inconsistent this year, but he's just the definition this year of mediocre and just not like mediocre and inconsistent. Like those are the two words I can think of to describe him this year. No, he does not suck this year. He's not like a horrible pitcher this year. I mean, I know some people see him that way just because they don't like him because of their expectations of him, whatever. He's been mediocre. Okay. He's not been good. That hasn't been great. Excuse me. So, and then the other takeaway from this game for me, the offense, you know, not able to do much. 3 runs, 6 hits, 0-for-4 runners in scoring position. Again, runners in scoring position this year haven't been awesome. It's been one of the reasons why their offense has been mediocre this year. And yeah, you just can't, I mean, the offense just didn't do much. They didn't do much yesterday. That's 3 runs in back-to-back games. Like, it's not terrible. It's not the worst. It's not like you got shut out, but, you know, got to put up more than 3 runs against, especially like the Marlins have been good this year. They're a good team. So you gotta give your guys run support. Obviously, Nola wasn't good today. Like, it's not all the offense's fault. But, you know, offense wasn't awesome today. They weren't terrible, but they weren't awesome. So I look at the offense and I say, for sure, that's definitely one of my takeaways. So the only real takeaways I have from the game, like from what I saw in the game, was Nola. You know, Strom and Soto came into the game and they were both whatever. So I mean, that's really all I could take from this game were those two things. And then the last takeaway from the game is that I kind of alluded to this before, but you know, would have been nice to take 2 of 3 from the Marlins, especially it would have been great to be 5-1 heading into the break. But at the end of the day, and I might have said 5-1, and maybe that would have been wishful thinking going into this road trip earlier this week. But I'm happy with 4-2. You played the Tampa Bay Rays. Tampa Bay Rays are the best team in the American League, right? One of the best teams in baseball in general. And then you have the Marlins, who have been better than the Phils this year. And I expected the Phils to be where the Marlins are at, but that's just not the case right now. But I'll take 4-2 in this road trip. And now they are 48-41 going into the you know, quote unquote, the second half of the season, even though it technically already started this past week, but just in the All-Star break. 4-2 on this road trip, I'm happy with the way it ended, even though it didn't feel good after Nola has that performance and they lose 2 of 3 to the Marlins. 4-2 on this road trip, sweeping Tampa Bay, and then you know, going 4-2 overall this week, I'm happy about. So I know it doesn't feel good. It kind of leaves a bad taste in their mouth a little bit. But I feel for the most part, I feel good after this week for the Phils. So let's get into where I'm at with this team at the All-Star break, where I am currently sitting with this team, how I'm feeling going into the All-Star break in Seattle. And this is just going back to kind of, you know, what I was saying earlier about this road trip here. You end with 4-2 in this road trip, and you go into the break with a 48-41 record. And considering where they were June 2nd, which I believe they were 25-32, if that wasn't exactly right, I know they were at least 7 games below 500. They were 7 games below 500, and as Phillies fans, we were not feeling good. You know, some of us were saying, oh, could this possibly be a lost season? But I'm not surprised they've gotten it back together. I'm trying to think of what their record has been since then. What was that, June 2nd? They were 18-10 in the month of June. So obviously, I mean, their record has been good. Like, obviously, I think they've just been in general one of the best teams in baseball, especially the National League. So, and of course, they just make up no ground on the Braves, even though they lost today. So, but they're at 60 wins this year, which is unbelievable so far. That Braves just never stop. But considering where they were just a little over a month ago, I think you got to be thrilled. I'm using the word thrilled. 48-41 for the Philadelphia Phillies. Being 7 games over 500 and being 7 games under 500 just about, you know, 40-ish days ago. You've got to be thrilled. You just have to. So that's kind of my opening thing here. You know, being where we are at this point in the season, you have to be happy, very happy with a 48-41 record. You have to be. And you're in good position right now. I'm trying to see because all the games are over where I'm at right now. Let me think. I'm looking right now. I just want to look at the wild card. So just want to, you know, where I'm planted right now. We're at 6:50 p.m. on Sunday night. Phils are tied with the Giants and Milwaukee technically too, but they're tied with the Giants record-wise, 48-41, firmly planted, or not firmly, but planted in the third wild card spot. Considering where you were, again, I keep going back to this, but considering where you were over a month ago, being in the wild card spot now feels good. And hopefully you set yourself up, and I think they have, for the second half, make some moves at the deadline. You know, hopefully Bryce's power comes back. We're going to get into that, but you got to be thrilled. So I want to, let's get into the positives. So positives, Ranger Suarez and Taiwan Walker. Overall, the last few months, I know, you know, Ranger was hurt, but Taiwan was terrible over the first, like, what, month and a half, 2 months. It's been great since then. Same with Ranger. That's great. That's a great sign. As the third and fourth starters, you want them to be this good, especially hopefully they can, you know, end the season or, like, you know, continue over the next couple of months to, you know, going into the postseason, because the Phils need, look, that fifth starter isn't going to, we don't have to worry about that fifth starter in the playoffs. Like, we're, your rotation's going to be Wheeler, Nola, Ranger, Taiwan, whatever order you want to do it. Obviously, Nola and Wheeler, top of the rotation. Even though Nola has been mediocre this year, that's just what it's going to be. But Ranger and Taiwan being, you know, good over the last few months, that's a positive. You got, especially the way Taiwan started, and, you know, Ranger, you know, coming off the injury, it's good. It's a good thing where they're at, but be cautious. Be cautious. And I'll get into that in a second. Another one, positive. Bullpen, 8th in ERA up to this point. You know, considering you weren't sure exactly what you were going to get, I felt like I was kind of trying to think of the word. Like, I wasn't, like, super confident in the bullpen going into this year, but there was some optimism. I looked at the names in the pen. I said Gregory Soto. That was a, you know, that was a big signing for me. You know, in the offseason, especially from Dombrowski, I thought Soto was a big signing. I thought that was really going to help the bullpen. You have Jose Alvarado, who's we're going to get into him in the news and notes. You know, was supposed to, it just, like, they were supposed to, you know, be the, really that back end of the bullpen. But there were some names where you had some you know, concerns. Like, Craig Kimbrell has been up and down. Like, who else? Like, Strom had been good, you know, in Boston, but weren't sure yet. Like, there were guys we just weren't sure yet. You know, Vasquez has been unbelievable. Vasquez has just been unreal. Kimbrel, all-star team. Come on. Like, I mean, he's the team's closer right now until he, hopefully not, you know, doesn't, you know, stops pitching this well. Matt Strom, I mentioned Matt Strom. He's been the Swiss Army knife of this team. And I know you can, you know, and he was kind of labeled that in the beginning of the season, but he really has, considering he, you know, filled that role in the beginning of the season, being the fifth starter, or just having to start in general. He filled that role well. And then the bullpen, he's been solid. So, I mean, he hasn't been perfect. He hasn't been amazing. But he's been good. Jeff Hoffman, I mean, coming up from Lehigh Valley, has been good. And none of these guys have been perfect, but, you know, the bullpen being where it is right now, eighth in Major League Baseball in earned run average, is a big deal. It really is. When I'm looking at this bullpen, but, and we'll get into it. I have some more on the bullpen there. Maybe not the happiest thoughts. And then, well, let's get in the offense. That'll be the last thing here with the positives. Offense. Nick Castellanos, Bryson Stott, Brandon Marsh. Nick Castellanos, obviously, had to be the positives here. Him coming off the horrible year he had last year. This year, offensively, looks like he has in the past. A 300 hitter, someone who's getting on base and above average clip. You know, some of the powers there. It looks like he's going to be a 20 to 25 home run guy this year. It would be cool if he got even hotter and hit 30 this year in the second half. But Castellanos, all-star this year. Bryson Stott, I mean, man, I really wish I could just do an episode on Bryson Stott and what he is just, the jump he has made and how excited I am as a Phillies fan to see Bryson Stott, the jump that he's made in year two. He goes from last year to, I mean, I tweeted it out earlier. I got to pull up his stats real quick. I mean, he's leading the team in WAR right now, 2.3 B-WAR. I don't know if that's exactly updated, but you know, last year, 234 average. I mean, he's hitting over 300 now. The 295 on base last year, on base of over 330 now. Slugging percentage of over 400, was under 400 last year. OPS was well below league average. This year, above league average. His wins above replacement is twice of what it was last year. And his defense is just super duper solid. You know, defensive runs saved. I don't know if this is all the way updated, but, you know, four defensive runs saved at this point. Like, he's just been super solid. I don't want to go off too much on Bryson Stott here because but it's just, it's so awesome to see as a fan. And Brandon Marsh had that hot April to start the year, cooled off a little bit, but he's still been a good offensive player. And this team wouldn't be, I think, where they're at without those three players. Another one, getting Bryce Harper back early. That was a positive. Even though he hasn't hit a lot of home runs, offensively, he's been a positive for this team. He's still getting on base almost at a 400 clip. Okay, so that's still important. You know, him just being, you know, a good hitter this year, whether it's, not hitting for power. So that's been a positive, getting Bryce Harper back early. Christian Pache, he was hurt for a little while, but he's been a good hitter. Look at his hit in game one against Miami. My gosh, look at that big home run. Pache's been good. Cody Clemens, even though he got sent down, and if you look at his numbers overall, weren't all that great offensively, but he gave you some big hits in some big spots. And for a while, especially in, I believe, in the month of May, like, he was good offensively when he had to be. So those are my positives. And then negatives. Aaron Nolan, Zach Wheeler. Okay, Wheeler hasn't been as bad. Wheeler's been, like, somewhat okay. Obviously, these are clear negatives. We all know. Like, Aaron Nola, I've already discussed Aaron Nola. I don't need to. We've discussed Aaron Nola all season freaking long. We don't need to go off too much on Aaron Nola. But Zach Wheeler, he's supposed to be your horse, too. Okay? So, like, both of these guys are supposed to be your horses, and they haven't. They've been bad. Or not bad, but they've been extremely mediocre, both of them. Wheeler, not as much, but this team is supposed to, and but you got to be thrilled about that too, being 48 and 41, considering, you know, how they haven't been great. So Nolan, Wheeler, that's my number one negative. Number two, Kyle Schwarber defensively. Look, you know, people come for the batting average. If you look at some of the offensive statistics that matter more, he's been more of a decent offensive player. I mean, he's been, the home runs are there, obviously. But what's really killing with Kyle Schwarber is the defense. Literally, I checked today, negative 18 defensive runs saved to this point in the year. Negative 18. He might end up with like negative 40 if you don't get him out of the outfield. Like, you really got to make a deal at the deadline and, you know, get a corner outfielder possibly and get Schwarber out of there so he can DH. Like, my goodness. I mean, that's really, Harper's going to hopefully, you know, play at first base. I mean, but the big thing is with Kyle Schwarber, him being that bad defensively is bringing your team down. It is. Him being that bad, okay? Talk about the batting average all you want. It's the defense that is killing them, okay? His offense isn't killing them. His offense is not, okay? But his defense is killing them. And then another one, Trey Turner, another negative. Offensively has not been good. Has not been good. If I had more time, I only have, you know, 20 plus minutes for this show. I'm almost done here. You know, I could do like a 40 minute show, you know, between all of these concerns and some of the positives too. But just the way I'm feeling, obviously Trey Turner has not lived up to it. Offensively, he's not been good. Not even average. He's had spurts here and there, but even his spurts haven't been all that crazy. They've just been little things here and there. We go back to his Arizona home run, blah, blah, blah. We can do that all day. But just to end, concerns. Offensively, really need some power back, whether it's Harper, whether hopefully Derek Hall could help out. They need more offense. I mean, they need more power because they're 17th in runs scored, and they, goddamn, they are missing Rhys Hoskins. It is not being said enough. They are missing Rhys Hoskins. Need power. Obviously, Hoskins is out for the year. You need power in some form. 17th in runs scored, average. So offensively, hopefully get a little more power. Hopefully it comes from different places. Hopefully it's Bryce Harper, Derek Hall, guys like that. And then concerns, I mentioned it with Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. because you don't want to be relying on Ranger Suarez and Taiwan Walker. Ranger and Taiwan have been good over the last couple of months, but you don't want to rely on them. They're not supposed to be the aces. They're the horses of this team. It's supposed to be Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler. And then the last one, I mentioned this before, I still don't fully trust like the bullpen. They've been good, but you know, Craig Kimbrell has been inconsistent the last couple of years. I mean, who knows? He might have a bad second half. I'm not trying to jinx that, but he did that in 2021 with the Cubs and the White Sox. It happened, and last couple of years, just been inconsistent. Okay? Gregory Soto has been okay. Andrew Vasquez, I don't know if he's going to keep this up the entire season. ERA under 2. I don't know. You know, relievers are weird, so I don't fully trust the pen. And then lastly, I just want to leave you on some news and notes. An update here on Jose Alvarado. Has left elbow inflammation, placed on the 15-day IL. Unfortunately, I mean, this is Alvarado's second stint on the IL. Andrew Bilotti has been recalled from AAA Lehigh Valley. So hopefully Bilotti can come up while Alvarado is down or, you know, on the IL and can at least give you some good innings in the bullpen. So that's going to do it for me. If I had more time, I wanted to kind of get more into some of these negatives and concerns. But at the end of the day, I think you guys got the general gist of how I'm feeling about this team. Look, I'm feeling good, and there's a lot of positives to take, but there are some concerns, and hopefully they can, you know, hopefully Nolan Wheeler can be better in the second half, Trey Turner too as well. But considering where this team started, where they're at right now, feeling good. So that's going to do it for me. Hope you guys enjoy the All-Star break. See you guys next time.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus. With customizable tools and charts you can access across all your devices. Try our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/trader plus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.